the beast became silent and focused. The abrupt lack of sound was even more unnerving than the cries of pain had been. Jackson rushed forward, taking the initiative and slamming his fists into the now unprotected areas of the monster. There was very little effect. While the armor was no longer in place, the creature's skin was rubbery and used to immense amounts of weight and pressure. Bard and Alexis had far greater success, their weapons having been designed to either slash or pierce. Arrows sunk deeply into the fleshy portions of the beast, while a single cut from Bard's axe was enough to expose fatty tissue and muscle. Wherever the monster's body was damaged, gouts of blood sprayed into the air. Apparently, the circulatory system was under serious pressure. The creature collapsed several feet from Joe, never even getting a chance to attack. When it fell, all of them felt a shockwave as the several-ton beast hit the ground. Joe gulped as he took in the massive figure, his brain doing flips as it tried to classify the thing's actual threat level. When it had stood, it was obvious that they had almost been frightened away by a creature they thought was only a third of this thing's true size. The rock monster was 9 feet tall and 4 feet wide, roughly humanoid, and coated in thick armor that it likely grew over time. It had taken over 1,000 damage from acid before even noticing it was under attack. Experience 100. 100 times juvenile rock monster times 1. In any situation where they weren't able to destroy the armor before engaging in combat, this creature would have utterly demolished their group. This was the rock monster equivalent of a teenager? Joe tried to clear the nerves from his voice, but his words still squeaked a bit as he spoke. "How many of these things are in here, you think?" Bard's eyes glazed over a bit, but when he next spoke, his voice was filled with surprise.
"Perhaps one more? If and we're really unlucky. We went up to 99.5 completion on the quest."
Each of them checked their quest information and were jubilant to discover that Bard was correct. Jackson poked Joe a couple times to get his attention.
"Might I enlist your aid, O gracious leader? I have a need of a potent acid to remove a bit of armor."
"Sure thing, Jackson." Joe followed the monk to the corpse of the rock monster and poured acid in each area Jackson indicated. Cutting the creature out of its rocky exterior took longer than the entirety of the time they had spent in the mine to this point. After the first layer of stone had been destroyed, they pulled the actual body out of the shell. It was, for lack of a better term, horrendously disgusting. The body was a blob that had taken a humanoid shape simply to acquire limbs as it grew. When Jackson cut the fleshy portion open, he became far too excited. Ignoring the smell that was so foul that it was nearly visible, he dove into the carcass. Almost literally.
"Its entire skeleton shifted when we pulled it out! It shifted!"
Jackson babbled as he tore chunks of meat off of the skeleton.
"Do you have any idea what this means?"
"Not a clue."
Joe looked at the others, but they seemed about as bewildered as he was.
"Look!"
Jackson finished dislodging the remainder of the meaty body. As the last chunk came free, the entire corpse changed. Instead of a humanoid form, the body now had a generally spherical shape.
"It's a shapeshifter! The rock monster could have any number of forms. If your skeleton and muscles will adjust, you could look like anything."
Jackson was giddy, and the dazed look on the others' faces was lost on him. Alexis glanced at Bard, then Joe, before speaking.
"If it can look like anything, we might be searching a long time for the last enemy."
"Don't think like that. No need to get down."
Bard beamed a smile at her.
"I'm sure it's wandering around here somewhere. We just need to find it."
Jackson stood up at that moment, seemingly disgusted. Joe, seeing the look on his face, made the mistake of asking the monk what was wrong. Jackson turned on him, almost shouting,
"What's wrong, Joe? What's wrong? Nothing! I seem to have found a useless target, though. Not only do these bones shift as needed, but they are solid metal!
These creatures will never need a chiropractor.
Are you crying?
Alexis's voice was lowered from shock.
I'm just so happy,
Jackson cried out, reaching down and patting the exposed bones.
I need to open up a few more of these things, see if their skeletons are all the same.
This is some kind of steel, I think.
Alexis was tapping the skeleton with a small chunk of rock. Each time she did so, a ringing sound like a baseball bat perfectly impacting a baseball sounded out.
Joe, this is a really high-grade metal material. I can't even inspect it, and material usage is one of my highest skills.
This is a mine, and it was eaten from the walls.
Bard looked at the place the monster had been scraping.
I think this is iron.
I bet it eats ores, then adds the metal to its body. This must be an alloy of all the metal it had ever eaten.
Jackson had a renewed interest in the skeleton, and he spent an unsuccessful minute attempting to tear a bone off for future study. When his stamina finally ran out, he dropped and stared at the bones longingly.
Soon, my beautiful metallic ossification alloy.
We need to get moving. Jackson, we'll come back for this, but we need to get these mines cleared,
Joe ordered abruptly when he saw everyone's stamina recovering. They started moving, though Jackson was rather reluctant to leave his prize out in the open. Joe made him move by reminding him that there was likely another one in the area. Not finding any other enemies for 45 minutes, the group was getting discouraged and sloppy. Bard was the worst of the lot, the time underground putting him on edge.
I'm sick of this! Celta Guild will start with a bad rep into town. What else is new?
Joe, I kinda agree. We've been through this whole place.
Alexis looked down as she said this, obviously uncomfortable with telling Joe something negative.
There's nothing else here, and unless you want to try destroying every rock in the mines, I don't know if we will find the last monster.
Back to the corpse. We can use a very, very small part of it for bribing the blacksmith and use the rest to make weapons and slay anyone who refuses to allow our guild to take over the area. Love us or die!
Jackson turned on his heel and made a beeline for the room the rock monster had died in. Joe followed them out of the mine, trying his best to be reasonable.
First of all, we can't kill the villagers. That's off the table. Next, I really don't want to give up on a quest. What do we have but time? We'll find it eventually.
Let's do some other quests first. How about?
Jackson smiled a toothy grin at him in a way that said he would not take no for an answer.
We can always come back after the monster has a chance to move around a bit. We will be able to find it more easily that way, right?
As much as he wanted to remain in the mine and search, Joe had to agree that finishing quests for other townsfolk might be more beneficial in the short term.
Fine. But we will come back, right? Remember, this quest chain is pretty much your guild acceptance test.
Yes, yes, make more idle threats.
Jackson was standing next to the metal skeleton, and his soft words made Joe shut his mouth with a click. The monk pushed and pulled, making the entire thing wobble a bit.
Good. If we work together, I'm sure we can make it back to town by simply rolling this along.
The four of them worked to get the metal ball rolling. The good news was that they were able to move it. The bad news was that each time they made progress, a bit of viscera would splat to the floor. The already rotting meat fell through the skeleton and left a trail of gore all the way back to where the creature had died.
This is such an efficient way to clean these off,
Jackson happily burbled.
Look, nothing is attached to the bones. It must simply be a frame that it builds for itself. Ingenious! If only we had a similar system in place. No wonder it needs an exoskeleton as well. Like a whale on land, over time, it would die from crushing itself.
By the time they reached the entrance to the mine, the bones were clean, except for a crusted-on layer of dried blood and dirt. A chiming sounded, and Joe watched with wide eyes as a core fell onto the ground. Joe swooped down and scooped it up. After finding that it was still only a low-grade core, he promised to pay the others fair market value if they let him keep it. No one seemed to mind, so he put it in his storage ring with a smile. They exited the mine and took a break, each of them sweating and gasping. Though Jackson's new toy rolled fairly easily, the ball of bones weighed several hundred pounds and tended to flatten out on the bottom as it rolled. All of this added up to needing a constant amount of force devoted to pushing. Joe was a bit embarrassed that he was only able to push on it for 10 seconds per 2 minutes before needing to rest and recover his stamina. His need to rest was what allowed him to see the answer to their quest. As he sat with the others to catch his breath, he looked back to the mine and saw something astounding. As he stared, the entrance vanished behind a wall of stone, then reappeared. Like the eyelid of an unbelievably massive creature, blinking. Chapter 14.
Joe, are you sure you weren't just seeing things?
Alexis had frustration evident in her voice.
I know you really want to finish the quest, but we were underground for a long time with poison fumes.
I know what I saw!
Joe barked in a voice thick with frustration, checking himself too late to stop himself from being rude. Seeing her look away and start trembling a bit made him feel like a terrible person. Ever since they had left the concealing darkness behind, she had reverted to her shy personality, and as much as he wanted to complete everything in the game, that was no reason to be hurtful to people trying to help him.
I'm so sorry, Alexis. I wasn't trying to be mean, I promise. I just really want this all to work out.
Alexis simply nodded, choosing not to respond verbally. Joe massaged his temples, mad at himself for his ill treatment of her.
All right. Well, we have some preparations to make. I think we can kill this thing.
Silence was his only answer, and the others seemed to be thinking he was having a mental breakdown.
I'll need a little help, though, and my methods might be a bit unconventional. Is everyone willing to at least try? Give me the benefit of the doubt?
How would you feel about the three of us finishing up little quests for the town while you work on this, giant mine monster?
Bard enunciated his words carefully, his accent barely showing through. Joe was a bit crestfallen that the others didn't want to work with him directly in his schemes, but he nodded anyway.
That would work, but I will need your help for a little while this evening. I need to charge up a spell to kill the mine, and I can't do it alone.
I have no mana.
Jackson wiggled his fingers in his normally creepy and disturbing manner.
Only astounding physical prowess.
Alexis raised her hand.
I can help. I got mana when I specialized. It's not a lot, but I can do it.
I have mana too,
Bard offered hurriedly while grinning at Alexis.
I'm in.
Thanks, guys.
Joe's smile had returned.
It'll be worth it in the end, I hope.
The party slowly started on their route back to town, rolling the ball of metal bones ahead of them. It was a slow, exhausting process, and Bard was none too happy about it.
This, pant, had better be worth something.
For certain, it already has great sentimental value to me.
Jackson purred as he caressed the bones.
I meant monetary value, you creepy bone-lover.
Bard rumbled deep in his chest, making Alexis titter with nervous laughter. When they were back on the main path to the town, Joe remembered that they were close to the shrine. He perked up. He had forgotten to tell them about the option to fast travel. Trying to be nonchalant, he cleared his throat.
I think this would be put to better use back in Ardania. Don't you agree?
Jackson shrugged.
That doesn't really matter, though, does it? We can't get it back easily.
What if we could? Joe rubbed his hands, evil genius style, and fibbed a little. Would you all like to learn a secret of the cleric class? At his insistence, they left the path and rolled the ball into the shrine. Would you like to donate this object to Tatum? Yes? No?
No!
Joe yelped in shock. His team would have killed him if they lost this curiosity. No need to be so rude.
Did the system just get huffy with him?
Joe opened his fast travel tab and added his party to the white list of people that could use this travel point. There were exclamations and curses as a bright pillar of light became visible to everyone.
Everyone ready?
Joe hit the travel option and waited until everyone accepted the invitation. The travel forced them all to blink. When their eyes came back into focus, they were standing in Ardania. Bard was the first to react.
So, how does one become a cleric?
Joe simply laughed, and they started rolling the ball to the guild's building. They attracted far too much attention for Joe's liking, and a crowd of bored or shady people followed them discussing the bones. Soon, questions, guild invites, and offers to buy were being shouted at them as the bones clattered against the cobblestone road. They tried to be polite in their refusal, but this only made the people more rowdy. When the guild building came into sight, Alexis ran ahead to get some help. Seeing a large group of guild members marching toward them a minute later, all but the most insistent of the crowd dispersed. Joe waved at a few of the guild members that he recognized.
Hey all! Storing this with the guild until we can get it appraised. Anyone know where we can put it?
With 15 people rolling the metal, it moved much faster. An entire, albeit small, room was devoted to it. Now at a loss for what to do, the guild members went back to work. Returning to Ardania with the ball of bones had taken an unexpectedly large amount of time, so instead of asking his team to come over and help tonight as originally planned, Joe instead complimented his party on a hard day's work, told them where to meet the next day, and had them take the night off. Sighing in relief, Joe spent a small chunk of time walking back to his rented warehouse. He quickly looked over the ritual he planned to empower in the morning and found that the chalk markings were still perfect. Excellent. He could make modifications around the current ritual, adding on a third circle. While it would give the ritual an effect that he needed, it would also make this a student-ranked ritual and increase the necessary resources quite a bit. It took almost 2 hours of chalk work to get the next circle completed without errors, but he was proud of the result. When he was finished, Joe cleaned up a bit since his team would be here in the morning. He took out the trash, changed the sheets on his bed, hid some knickknacks in an empty crate, all followed by devoting an hour to his puzzle cube.
Characteristic point training completed. +1 to intelligence, wisdom, perception, and dexterity. These stats cannot be increased further by any means other than system rewards, study, or practice for 24 hours game time. Name, Joe, the Chosen of Tatum. Class, Mage. Actual, Ritualist. Profession, Scholar. Actual, Occultist. Level, 9. Experience, 38,665. Experience to next level, 6,335. Hit points, 80 out of 80, 50 plus 30, asterisk. Mana, 867 out of 867. 12.5 per point of intelligence, plus 100% from deity, minus 11% from mana manipulation. Mana regen, 10.63 per second. 0.25 per point of wisdom, plus 9% from coalescence. Stamina, 75 out of 75, 50 plus 10, asterisk, asterisk, plus 15, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Character, raw score, modifier. Strength, 12, modifier, 1.12. Dexterity, 14, modifier, 1.14. Constitution, 13, modifier, 1.13. Intelligence, 39, modifier, 1.39. Wisdom, 39, modifier, 1.39. Charisma, 16, modifier, 1.16. Perception, 29, modifier, 1.29. Luck, 16, modifier, 1.16. Comic luck, +5. Looking over his character sheet, Joe was pleased by the changes. He was lagging far behind others of the same level, but in 10 days or so, he should be able to get both his intelligence and wisdom above 50 points. From there onward, he would simply need to devote quite a bit of time to raising his other stats. If he wanted to get his strength to 50, he would need to spend 3 months doing daily strength training.
Blech.
He was really not looking forward to training his constitution either, especially not with a high perception. Then he saw something that was wrong. His experience was too low for his actual level. He did the math on the floor with a chunk of chalk. Right now, he had just over 38,000 experience, which should put him at level 8. Why was he level 9? Joe did all of the math again, but no matter how it came up, he should only be level 8 right now. He looked over his equipment, he checked active effects, nothing. He needed answers. In that case, Joe looked at the time and sighed. It was almost too late for him to be comfortable going out, but Tatum should know what was going on. He stood up, exited the warehouse, locked it up behind him, and then strolled to the Temple District. Once again, not noticing the eyes upon him as he walked through the massive temple, Joe looked carefully for Tatum's statue. When he found it, he was highly impressed. Whereas before it had been a plaque on the ground that was easily missed, now there was a stone book filled with indecipherable, shifting writing which was level with his knee. Joe touched the book and once again found himself in a massive temple on a mountaintop. Tatum glanced over, startled at the sudden intrusion, but then a stunning smile appeared on his face that literally caused flowers to bloom. Joe looked at the flowers and saw that their petals were tiny pages. He plucked one, putting it in his ring to study later as Tatum chuckled.
"I'd expect nothing less. Your inquisitive mind is what makes you an ideal protégé after all. Feel free to take a few of them. They are basically weeds to me."
When he had chuckled, the flowers had grown higher, taking on a bit of a golden glow. "Does this happen to every deity?" Joe questioned as he looked over the strange flower. His herbalism score jumped 5 points as he did so. Apparently, these were fairly high-leveled plants.
"Ugh, yes. The more power we have, the more often it happens, too. Did you know that Chan, Gaia, the Earth deity, is not actually an overgrown tree covered in flowers? She just has so many followers and passive power that plants are constantly growing on and around her."
Tatum snorted and looked at the flower Joe was placing in his ring.
"Still, it is nice to be visibly gaining power again. Those are good for low-level magical documents, by the way. They expand to hold what you need to write. You can only put up to student rank information on them at best. Don't try to go too wild. You can also plant the seeds to raise your own paper flowers, but they will only grow in a secret or hidden garden."
"Naturally." Joe chuckled at this reminder of the deity's power. "Listen, I found something strange today. Would you look at my stats and tell me why I'm a level higher than I should be?"
"Oh, you, saw that, huh?"
Tatum chuckled and seemed to sweat. Could deities sweat?
"So, pretty please don't say that out loud again or mention it to anyone. I might have been doing something I shouldn't."
Joe waited as Tatum trailed off. "What did you do?" Tatum replied, but it was such a soft mutter that it was unintelligible. Joe waited, and Tatum became exasperated. He shrunk to the size of a thumb, vanishing and appearing on Joe's ear.
"I've been artificially boosting your level. You needed the increased stats and access to more characteristic points in order to survive, and I needed you to specialize faster than you would have otherwise. Listen carefully, Joe. If you catch the wrong attention with this fact, you might suffer severe penalties. When you get to level 10, the experience difference will need to be repaid, and there will be no longer an issue. Going from 10 to 11 will simply cost you 21,000 points instead of 11,000. Please, no more questions about this. I'd like you to continue existing."
Beginning to sweat, Joe glared at the tiny deity that was now on his shoulder. He couldn't decide if Tatum was supposed to represent an angel or a demon. Not cool, man. Not cool.
So anyway, Tatum returned to his throne and regular size. How are things going?
Not great, Tatum, Joe growled darkly, relenting with a sigh after a long moment. We are trying to get our guild into a town, and they aren't playing nice.
Well, I'd suggest you use your natural blessings and find a way to manage.
Tatum winked conspiratorially, but Joe didn't understand the reference.
I'm glad that you are getting set up in a town, though. Your specialization will require it. Did you ever go to that place and do the thing?
The thing? What place? Joe suddenly remembered the tiny mark that had appeared on his map the last time he had been in this temple.
Oh, right. I have, found where I need to go, but I haven't been able to go there yet. Well, since you found where you need to go, I'll give you a quest for your specialization at level 10.
Tatum clapped, and Joe got a message.
Tatum has given you a quest, building a specialization. Achieve level 10 and go to the area that you found to learn how to specialize. Reward. The next steps for specialization. Failure. You will need to find a new way or a different class to specialize in.
Thanks, Tatum. This talk has been, fun?
Yeah, fun,
Joe reluctantly allowed.
I'm so glad.
Tatum clapped his hands once more, and Joe found himself back in Ardania. He began sweating heavily and started towards his warehouse as fast as he could. Chills raced down his spine, and Joe could have sworn that people were staring at him angrily, but he hoped it was just his imagination. It was only his imagination. He was sure of it.
Chapter 15.
Knock, knock.
Bleah!
Joe woke up to the sound of someone knocking and puking on his door. Really not a super fun alarm clock. He probably should have warned his people that there was an anti-intruder effect in place.
Coming! I'm so sorry, I can fix this for you!
Joe yelled as he rolled out of his sleeping mat, tripping once as he rubbed at his bleary eyes. He stumbled to the door, throwing it open, which caused him to yelp and flinch as the unwelcome bright morning light flooded his eyes.
Why is it always so painful to open that door?
Alexis was on all fours on the ground, dry-heaving, while Bard was wisely staying a few feet away with a look of concern on his face. Joe ran indoors, grabbed his chalice, and returned to the waiting people.
Here, I need a bit of blood from both of you, and I'll get you added to the guest list.
Both of them allowed themselves to be cut, giving blood without a second thought. If they had been able to see some of Joe's potential uses for their donation, they likely would have been far more hesitant. After quickly adding the two of them to the quarantine area, Joe dashed back and invited them in. He looked at Alexis, who was blushing and furious.
Do you have an extra sensitive stomach?
Low constitution,
she ground out through gnashing teeth. Joe understood her anger when he saw the looks of panic she kept sending in Bard's direction. Ah, yes. Puking in front of a love interest wasn't a great way to get the kind of attention you want.
Entirely my fault, Joe tried to placate her. She had very deadly poisons with her, he was certain. I have a long-term effect in the building that makes people really sick, and it gets way worse if they make it further in.
What kind of limitations does it have?
Bard eagerly inquired. Seeing someone else interested in his passion made Joe a bit overexcited.
Well, it is expensive to set up initially, but there is no cost to maintain it for a long period of time. Let's see. Oh, they are called rituals, by the way. Anyone can use them, but if you can't do research on how to optimize them and reduce their cost, you will likely turn to other endeavors.
I meant more,
Bard interrupted the babbling ritualist.
I wasn't hardly impacted, whereas poor little Lexus here looked like she got hit by a bus.
I don't... Joe's eyes widened as he realized what Bard was getting at.
Your constitution. Higher constitution mitigates the effect of illness and poisons, so this would be almost useless against thugs trying to break in.
Alexis's glare had waned a bit. Staring at anyone that intensely made her squirm uncomfortably.
Can we please get going?
Joe looked over at her in a daze.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. We are after this ritual over here. It's called Gravedigger's Requiem. Well, the basic version was called that, at least. I guess I don't have a name for this one yet.
What does it do? It's very pretty artwork.
Alexis reached out to touch the chalk lines, but Joe's strangled cry of inarticulate indignation stopped her.
Ahem!
Joe cleared his throat and tried to talk in a deeper voice to make up for his squeal. He held out a taglock, a fancy name for something that will connect a spell or charm to a person, in this case, an extra sharp needle, for them to see.
The ritual should dig a hole, straight down. When the digging is stopped by finding flesh, it launches this down the hole, hopefully into the body. Then the main part of the ritual takes over, and the targeted thing gets dropped about a kilometer into the ground.
That's awesome!
Alexis's eyes shone in wonder, even as Bard looked disgusted. The Scald held his tongue, though, much to Joe's relief.
What do you need us for, then?
Well, I need people to help me activate the ritual. Adding the extra effect onto the ritual tripled the amount of mana needed to activate it. It would cost 3,000 mana normally, but with me leading the ritual, we can reduce it. 19.5% of 1,500, 292.5. Add on coalescence and mana manipulation, so minus 28%.
Joe put down his chalk and looked up.
It'll cost 869 mana. Then we will need to add in 1,000 mana to give it enough power to dig.
You are out of your mind! I have 400 mana total!
Alexis cried out at the astronomical sum Joe quoted.
250!
Bard grunted in agreement when Alexis spoke. So 650 extra to work with. Joe cracked his knuckles.
I can invest the points for the main event on my own. How fast can I regenerate that mana?
He looked over his status sheet. 10.63 per second, so we can do this if the entire ritual takes at least 30 seconds.
That's manageable. I think we can do this.
What can we expect while this is happening?
Alexis nervously looked over the dried bloodstains on the wood.
Machines!
Bard muttered before beginning to snicker softly.
You say something, Bard? No? All right. Well... You will start to feel suction from your mana. Just do your best to keep it in your channels and you'll be fine. It'll take all of your mana, so you will feel pretty... drained.
Joe couldn't think of a better word to describe the sensation.
If I screw it up, it might hurt a little, but it's nothing I can't fix. Any questions?
So many.
Bard crossed his arms.
What are channels, first of all?
Oh my gosh! I was just going to ask that.
Alexis beamed at Bard and tapped his arm playfully before looking away with a mortified expression on her face. She was a grown woman, for goodness sake.
No channels yet?
Yikes. Maybe we should postpone this. But then you'll have less mana. Joe's brow furrowed as he ran a hand over his shiny head.
Mana channels appear to be a way to improve access to mana and make it so that your magical skills cost less. Talk to Terra if you want the skill, but I should warn you that the two skills she'll teach you will drop your total mana by 30%.
Alexis nodded, apparently over her embarrassment, or hiding it well.
I'll ask her about it. What happens if we don't have the channels?
The total mana depletion will hit you like a truck, Joe stated frankly.
It'll suck for a little while. Bard shrugged after a drawn-out moment.
At least you warned us. I don't fancy coming back to your house of horrors again. Let's do this.
When Joe glanced at Alexis, she nodded as well.
Great. Thank you both. I need you to stand here, and you go here.
Joe positioned the two of them around the ritual, walking over to the other side of the diagram to form an isosceles triangle.
Perfect. Now, when the ritual gets started, it is very important that you don't say anything.
This rank of ritual magic requires chanting, and incorrect words at the wrong time could make it... explode. Here we go.
When you say explode...
Alexis began fearfully, only to be cut off as Joe clapped and started pouring mana into the ritual diagram. As per usual, the first and innermost circle began accepting the mana. Joe's mana poured out at a manageable pace, and he remained calm as the flow subsided momentarily. The second ritual circle lit up, and the pull on Joe's mana doubled in intensity. Having experienced this before, he simply breathed deeply and chanted calmly. His mana channels had been forcibly altered by his time in the Mage's College, so this level of throughput was easily handled. The other two were watching him, waiting for something other than a light show to happen. Joe braced himself, wincing and nearly faltering in his chant as the third circle began drawing power. He would have lost control of his mana, but the bonus spell stability from his mana manipulation skill saved him from lighting up like a Roman candle. Mana poured from him in a torrent, the connection between himself and the diagram becoming visible to the naked eye. Moments before his mana pool dropped below 5%, the ritual was completed. Joe stood in his designated spot, heaving in great gulps of air as his mana slowly regenerated. His eyes went round as he saw the next portion begin to activate.
Crap, it's only been 15 seconds.
Bard yelped as the ritual connected to his mana pool. He slid to his knees as a torrent of power was yanked out of him over 4 seconds, and his nose began bleeding freely. Alexis almost ran over to him, but luckily for all of them, the ritual connected to her at that moment. The same process repeated itself, but the bleeding was far worse for her. Her body wasn't up to the task of releasing so much power in such a short time, so she began bleeding from her eyes and ears as well.
It's only been 24 seconds, Joe braced himself as the power draw flipped back to him.
All the ritual needed right now was a collection of mana. It didn't need to flow into specific channels, diagrams, or in any fancy maneuvers. What this meant to Joe was that mana could leave his body as fast as it could be collected. By the time the ritual had all of the mana it needed from them, they had each been forced to pay in health points while their mana regenerated. Alexis seemed half-dead, while Bard simply seemed profoundly angry. Joe was on the ground, wheezing, trying to generate enough mana to heal himself before he bled to death.
Ritual created. Unnamed. Would you like to activate this ritual? Yes? No?
Joe exhaustedly selected no. The option to name the ritual appeared, and he waved that off as well.
What the abyss was that?
The ritualist waved him off, still wheezing, so Bard threw his hands in the air and strode over to Alexis.
The ball's on the slate, Amut. I'm... Yes, so sorry. Yes, please don't go.
Joe managed to speak.
It went way faster than I expected, and then it kept leaking mana because we lost spell stability. Then it took more mana to restabilize. If I didn't generate a huge amount of mana, that would have definitely killed us.
This had better have worked because I'm never doing this sort of thing again,
Alexis threatened furiously as she tried to get blood out of her hair before it dried. Joe sat up, groaning in pain as his mana rapidly regenerated. As his power returned, so too did rational thought.
It worked. If it hadn't... Actually, I'm not sure. I've never failed a ritual. I think dying is likely.
Never again!
Alexis stated harshly.
Please don't say that!
Joe begged her, eyes wide and hands clasped in front of himself.
This was a mistake. I completely overestimated myself. I should have had another person at the minimum for this, or a contingency such as a mana potion. This was worse than any other time anyone has helped me with a ritual.
Alexis hesitated and wavered, but didn't rescind her comment.
It had better have been worth it.
She stalked toward the door, growling lightly. Bard stared after her, a smile slowly spreading on his face.
I think I like her. See you at the teleporting spot. Bring snacks. Some booze wouldn't go amiss either.
He waved nonchalantly back at Joe as he followed Alexis out of the building. Joe carefully walked to the center of the ritual diagram after they left. Very cautiously, he picked up the small item that had been the focus of the ritual. The needle, the taglock, was humming and vibrating in his hand hard enough to be painful, so he placed it in his storage ring and followed his teammates out with a smile on his face.
Totally worth it. Almost positive.
Joe trailed after the rest of his group, thinking hard on the next things he needed to do. As they approached the town square, Joe almost slapped himself. He had forgotten to tell A-10 about the new teleportation point. He pulled out a piece of paper and quickly wrote out a note, sealing it with a bit of mana. Joe flagged down a courier and paid 3 silver to make an urgent delivery to his guild leader. He gave access privileges to A-10 as well as permissions for the guild leader to allow others to use the travel locations. Looking up at his impatiently waiting team, Joe realized that he hadn't explained anything that he had been doing.
Bleh. Bad habits really unbefitting a leader.
He was getting too used to the lone wolf mentality.
Sorry, all. I needed to send a letter to A-10 before we could go. Everyone ready?
We were, but Jackson just noticed a slouching loot player and ran after him.
Alexis responded archly. Panic followed by resignation flashed across Joe's face.
Have the guards gone after him yet? Not that we can say. Yon's a right chancer.
Bard chuckled as he watched Jackson at a distance. He pointed him out to Joe.
I don't mind if he bust that man up a wee bit, though. He's a mean cuss. Slaps puppies around when he thinks no one's watching.
Alexis's head whipped around, and she stared at him in shock.
Are you being serious?
Bard coughed lightly and flushed a bit.
It's just a saying. I'll go get Jackson back here.
Alexis and Joe waited awkwardly until Bard came back, dragging Jackson along with him. Joe looked out into the crowd and saw what he had been expecting. Guards were beginning to swarm the area. He was pretty sure he knew who they were after.
Time to go.
He grinned nervously and accessed the fast travel point. When all of his teammates accepted the invitation, they instantly vanished from the city without fanfare. Also without being arrested. Perks.
Chapter 16. Instead of going back to the small town right away, Joe had asked the others to accompany him to the mine so they could activate the ritual. There had been some minor hesitation from Alexis, but the others quickly decided to go with him. It was a short walk to their destination now that they knew the way, and barely 15 minutes later, they were standing at the entrance to the mine.
So, how does this work? It seems quite interesting, but I haven't seen anything like it before.
Jackson followed Joe a bit deeper into the mine.
Well, the ritual will activate and do what it was designed to do. Joe shrugged helplessly. It is similar to creating a machine that has a singular purpose, like passing the butter. Very simple stuff, at least until the higher levels of rituals when I can hopefully make versatile rituals that would do intricate tasks. The difference between a single-purpose machine and a car, for example.
How exciting!
Jackson watched curiously as Joe got to the approximate center of the mine and set up the ritual focus he had been carrying in his ring. Alexis and Bard rounded the corner, having decided that they wanted to see the activation of the ritual they had nearly died to create.
"Hey, guys," Joe waved happily. "Ready for this? It should move pretty fast once it's going."
"Go for it,"
Bard pronounced in a grand, ringing tone. Joe gave him a thumbs up and activated the ritual. A bit of light was released and a high-pitched whine filled the area as the stone beneath the ritual focus was shoved apart.
Multi-stage ritual. Unnamed activated. Stage 1. This ritual will dig until it runs out of mana or finds a target. Any excess mana will be used to grant extra effectiveness to the second stage of this ritual. If no target is found, the ritual will pause until mana is supplied. If 24 hours elapses without an influx of at least 500 points of mana, the ritual will destroy itself. Stage 2. This ritual will apply the effects of Grave Digger's Requiem to the target, boosted by any remaining mana from Stage 1.
Wow, that's getting deep pretty fast.
Alexis held a torch above her head and stared down the hole as stone was ground up and compressed against the wall. Jackson looked around at the others, then cleared his throat.
That's what she said. No one else thought that?
Alexis ignored him.
Joe, have you thought of using this portion of the ritual for more mundane things? For instance, this might be really useful for making wells in town or something. Get reputation by improving quality of life or some such.
Joe blinked owlishly. No, he hadn't considered that, but now a whole slew of business options were appearing in his head. Once again, he was startled by the transition Alexis underwent when they were in a dark space. She seemed to lose her bashfulness, becoming calculating and focused. That's an awesome idea. Actually, there are a bunch of rituals that I've never been able to find a purpose for that might be intended for that sort of thing. I've been looking more at combat utility, but... Before he could finish his statement, the whine from rock splitting became the horrendous screech of tortured metal. They all clapped their hands to their ears and looked at Joe. He motioned that they should go to the exit, then looked down the hole to see what was happening. The ritual had dug almost 40 feet straight down by this point, which should be an indication of how powerful it was. With his dark vision ability, he would have been able to see the bottom quite easily, but right now, there was no need for that skill. At the bottom of the hole was a brilliantly glowing area full of molten metal. This ritual, which had descended 5 stories through rock in a matter of moments, was barely moving through the thick metal alloy it had reached. Joe certainly had mixed emotions about this. On one hand, he could likely consider this proof that they had found a rock monster. On the other hand, how long would it take to get through that thick plate of metal? How dense and strong was it? Joe looked at the act of ritual and was pleased to see that he could tell how much power was remaining. To get a good reading on it, he watched the ritual and took notes for 10 minutes. So far, it had gone through 467 of its allocated 1,000 mana, but the ritual had slowed its drain considerably. Now it was only losing about 4 mana every 3 minutes, which should mean a loss of about 20 mana an hour. Unless something changed, Joe had lots of time before the power was used up. Touching the ritual, Joe channeled mana into it until it had returned to a full 1,000 points. After doing so, he walked outside and healed his ears. He didn't want tinnitus, and judging by the ringing in his ears, he was close to the danger zone. Looking around at the expectant faces, he plastered as realistic a smile on his face as he could manage. Definitely a rock monster.
Excellent! Jackson pumped his fist into the air. How soon do we have before your magic kills it?
When Joe didn't respond, the others began giving him dark looks. Had he lied to them about this spell thing? Alexis had to stop herself from reaching for her oversized crossbow as Joe's face flushed and twitched. Finally, he spoke in a rush. I have no idea. None at all. All I know is that it's going and should continue digging until tomorrow night. He tensed up, waiting for them to be angry or leave his group, but was surprised once again as they simply nodded, calmed down, and moved on. Alexis started walking away, speaking over her shoulder as she strolled along.
Back to the town, then?
Seeing Joe's reaction to Alexis's words, Bard thumped him on the back.
What? Just 'cause you can't get a big old bee sting in a few seconds, you thought we'd be peeved?
I guess I expected that you would all want to see results right away, Joe admitted, as they walked or, in his case, skipped. He still needed to add his jump modifier onto his movement if he wanted to be able to keep up with even the slowest of his teammates. Bard snorted while Jackson replied,
You've been reading too many newspapers. No matter what the media says, people don't actually demand instant gratification. That's already intensely improbable, and we all play this game and know what it takes to do big things. I, for one, am impressed that you may be able to reach the monster at all. I had no chance of doing it.
Besides, if we can't complete the quest...
Alexis trailed off momentarily, taking a deep breath to settle her nerves before continuing.
Oh, well, I guess. We were up for quitting on it yesterday. You weren't, but we certainly were.
Joe felt touched and was even more pleased with his current team. They were proving to be good people. Bard coughed into his hand and broke the peaceful feeling with his next words.
By the way, how soon do we start getting paid?
Terror filled Joe as he remembered that he was in charge of making sure the team had income, and his resolve firmed into steel. As soon as we finish the quests in this town. Going door to door after returning to the small town proved fairly fruitless. Though they gained a few minor quests and were usually able to complete them within a few minutes, most of the quests in town were locked behind what Bard called the reputation wall. Until they had a high reputation with the town, they could only get to the quests they really needed by smashing the wall with a level of charisma they simply didn't have. As night began to fall, the dejected group teleported back to Ardania. Joe was exhausted, and from the look of them, the others weren't doing that great either. He made a snap decision, trusting his instincts from long years in the military.
Look, guys, we did a whole heck of a lot today. Heck, between all of us, we completed 26 quests today.
I gained a grand old total of 324 experience apiece,
Bard chimed in unhelpfully.
I delivered almost 30 letters today before I found out that the villagers were illiterate and sending an empty envelope back and forth just to make fun of us.
Alexis spat furiously.
Right.
Joe lost his train of thought, needing to restart.
We did great work, though.
Getting the entire town on our side in 3 days was simply an impossible task, all right? Let me pay for a night out. I'll get us all nice rooms at an inn. We can drink and get to know each other. You don't have to come, but just so you know, I will be getting you three into the guild, even if this whole town thing doesn't work out. The others perked up instantly at the end of his impromptu speech. Each of them had been a tiny bit concerned that they had been doing so much work with so little to show for it. Having assured access to a noble guild, and the rare quests they were sure to get to take part in, made the last 2 days worth the effort. Everyone agreed to meet at the inn near the square in about 2 hours, so Joe went over to give a report to the guild. As he arrived at the guild hall, he was impressed to see 3 covered wagons being loaded. They were massive affairs, wagons that stood 12 feet high and were wide enough that they must have trouble turning on the city streets. A-10 wasn't around. Apparently, he was still in the process of choosing his specialization. He was due back the following morning before the caravan departed, so Joe left a report with a couple other ranked guild members and trudged back to the inn. Sitting down at an empty table and ordering a drink, Joe found that he had a bit too much free time for his tastes. Deciding not to waste it, he pulled out his puzzle cube and began spinning the multitude of faces. He got a few in alignment and was even able to solve another riddle. At the end of an hour, he smiled as the now familiar pop-up appeared.
Characteristic point training completed. +1 to intelligence, wisdom, perception, and dexterity. These stats cannot be increased further by any means other than system rewards, study, or practice for 24 hours game time. Perception has reached 30 points. Based on your attempts in the past to view the stats of friends and foes alike, you have gained a new skill. Scan, Novice 1. Skill. Scan has acute affinity with the ritualist class. Scan has been upgraded to intrusive scan. Intrusive scan, Novice 1. Stare deeply at a target, some would say in an almost loving manner. Those people would be wrong. As you attempt to analyze an enemy, your eyes allow you to view more than a typical scan. Effect. Over the course of 5 seconds, additional information about your target will appear. In the first second, you will see their name, class, and title. After 2 seconds, their highest stat will appear. At second number 3, you will be able to see any ongoing effects that might be affecting them. No information will appear on the 4th, but after a full 5 seconds, any weak points your target has will appear as a red light in your vision. Time needed to scan will decrease only in higher tiers of this skill. Use caution. After the first second, there is a 20% chance each second that your target will feel your eyes upon them. If they do, they are nearly guaranteed to feel uncomfortable or outright hostile. they will also know exactly where they are being watched from. Joe felt conflicted. Why was it that his extra useful skills all felt so creepy? He could already imagine using this skill in the bar portion of the inn, and some lady looking over and seeing a bald man in a robe staring at her unblinkingly. Heck, he could complete the creep effect by breathing heavily from low stamina. He rolled his eyes at his thoughts. On a positive note, this was an incredibly useful skill. It seemed to combine all of the abilities he would expect a politician, scout, and assassin to have into a handy, if somewhat odd, skill. His reverie was interrupted by his new team entering the building. Joe waved them over and started a tab. Promising all of them a hangover cure, Joe bought all the drinks for the table. Sure, he was a thrifty man, but there were times in life that spending time getting to know someone really well simply cost a bit of coin. It was a good night, and at one point, a red-faced bard got onto a small stage in a corner and sang some karaoke. There wasn't any equipment for it, but for once, no one threw anything at him. Instead, the patrons cheered for him uproariously. He took an unsteady bow and stumbled back to the table. He sat down next to Alexis and put an arm around her, pulling her against him. Alexis's eyes went wide, and her face reddened. She looked uncomprehendingly at Bard as he leaned in for a kiss.
"Hold it, hold it!"
Joe put an arm in Bard's way and waited a moment until Bard stopped trying to make out with the skin covering his elbow.
"None of that while drunk. Cleanse!"
Joe had only dealt with the dehydration factor of drinking when using cleanse in the past, so it was interesting to him how much the booze acted like a poison. It made sense when he thought about it, but for some reason, he hadn't been expecting it. After a few long seconds, Bard was cleared of any effects the alcohol had on him, so Joe then turned and cleansed Alexis. After doing so, he got up and went to the bathroom to give them a bit of privacy, as well as to, well, he had been drinking. He came back to the table to see two smiling people leaning toward each other and talking animatedly while kissing intermittently. After a moment of confusion, Joe made them get out of his spot and turned to look at Bard and Alexis.
Who were they?
No idea. They just stumbled over and sat down,
Alexis told him while smiling shyly. Joe could just barely see that the two of them were holding hands under the table. Now that they weren't making drunken choices, Joe was happy for them. Knowing how shy Alexis could be, he didn't mention anything out loud. He did give Bard a thumbs up when she was looking at a different part of the room, though. As the night wound to a close, Joe rented a few rooms and went back to the table to distribute keys. He paused and watched in silent wonder as Jackson performed a trick for everyone, perfectly adjusting a pretzel and turning it into a breadstick. Amid the cheering, Joe shook his head and handed out the keys. Bard glanced over at Alexis and handed his back, giving Joe a broad wink. Joe rolled his eyes. He was happy for them, but he really hoped this budding relationship wouldn't impact their teamwork. Or make one of them choose to save the other instead of him if they were in a dangerous situation. Maybe he should put a stop... Oh, they left? Joe shrugged and went to his room, taking a luxurious and private bath. It was well past the time that he should be asleep, but he couldn't stop himself from pulling out his notes and books about rituals. He read over them in a new light and saw ways of using them that had eluded him in the past. How had he ever thought this one was for combat? It was obviously an earth-shaping ritual for creating the foundations for buildings. This one wasn't a fancy way to attack at range. It was a... Joe sat up in bed and stared at the ritual he had previously deemed useless. This was a remote activation sequence. He shook his head, furious at his previous narrow-mindedness. Joe felt the need to increase his knowledge and ability. He opened his character sheet and moved to the skills section. He was at rank 9 of the student rankings. He had been holding off on adding another point because he was worried that he had been pouring too many skill points into this category without exploring his other options. But now, Joe added a point to the skill
and looked at the notification. Skill increase failed. As this is your class ability, it is impossible at this time to increase it via skill points. You